Because in the Lord's Prayer, there's 57 words. 57 words, and we're going to be talking about 13 of them. We're going to be talking about 13 of the 57 words. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is the way the NIV puts it. Deliver us from the evil one. In the New King James, or the King James says, and don't lead us into temptation, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The New Living Translation says, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So different translations say the same thing, but in a different way. And that's why I love the Bible. That's why I love the Spanish Bible and the French Bible and the English Bible and the Greek Bible, because when you're looking at it, you don't need all the other commentaries, because I've always been told that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. We must get a grasp of the word temptation, because words mean different before, now, and even biblical times it meant something different. Even today in our words we use every day, the meaning is changing. When we talk about fearing God, what do we think when we think about fearing God? Oh no, he's up there with a big baseball bat, and every time we make a mistake, boom, he hits us over. No, 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 no. See, fear in the Bible refers to reverence. We have to reverence, we have to appreciate God. I mean, that's only one word, but we could go over all the different words that have changed over the time. Now, temptation, according to the world, is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. That's what the world said. Let me repeat that, because the world's idea and the Bible idea are two different things. The desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. That's what the world says about a temptation. Now, what is the Bible? According to the Bible, it says temptation is the intentional enticement of a person by some bait, usually pride, always self-gratification, to disobey God's revealed word. So when we think, lead us not into temptation, we are praying that we won't be led, that we won't be led into doing something against God's word. And I pray that quite often, because a lot of times I don't know what to do, where to go, how to do it. And I just said, Lord, thy will be done, because I don't want to be tempted to do something I'm not supposed to do. So the question is, can God tempt or lead us into temptation? Because this Lord's Prayer, some people think when it says, lead us not into temptation, referring to God, don't lead us into temptation. Now, my question is, can God tempt us or lead us into temptation? Does God tempt us or lead us into temptation? I have friends of mine, and I've read some commentaries on it, saying, oh, yes, that's why we are to pray, God, lead us not into temptation, as if God is going to lead me into temptation. But God's not going to lead me into temptation, and I'll show you why biblically as we go along. So the thing is, God does not tempt man. I am saying that on the authority of the Word of God. And we're going to look at a couple of verses to show us that God does not tempt us. He will allow us to go through some trials, which we're going to talk about. He allows us to go through some turbulence in our lives. He allows us to experience problems. But he does not lead us into temptation. I like what John MacArthur says. The request, do not lead us into temptation, is not to suggest God causes temptation, but is a way to ask for his protection from sin. We're asking God, help me not to sin. Help me not to go there, Lord. Help me not to do that, Lord. Help me not to think that, Lord. Help me, Lord. And we have to pray that over and over. At least I do. Maybe you don't. But God will not lead us into temptation. Tested, not tempted. God will test us, but he will not tempt us. Very important, very important. God has a purpose for trials and testings. And we're going to see that from James 1:13. Let's turn to James 1:13. Keep your finger into Matthew there. We're going to come back, of course. But look at James 1:13. Such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful rendering of the whole idea of being going through trials and testings. It says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I don't speak very often on patience because I ain't got patience. That's one of my downfalls. But this is what trials and testing will produce. We know that trials are a means for our growing spiritually, morally, and emotionally. As I go through a trial or a testing, what do? I have to look up. Lord, ajudame, aide-moi, help me, please, Lord, because I'm going through trials, I'm going through testings, and this helps me, pushes me, encourages me to rely more on God. And I think sometimes that's why he allows us to go through trials, so we will look up. We can't do it all on our own. I always say, I can do all things. Yes, I can, through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do anything myself, but through Christ. I always give the examples of languages. I mean, I can't even speak English right. I don't know why you people allow me to come here. Sometimes I trouble with English. And then the Lord said to me to go to Quebec. I didn't even pass English in Vancouver Tech High School or Moss Grop High School. And then God, he calls me, to go to Quebec. So I have to learn French. So I worked 12 years trying to learn French, preaching Jesus. I don't know why they accepted me because, you know, they look at my wife and they says, what part of Quebec are you from? And they look at me and they say, what part of the United States of America are you from? I mean, no contest. And then after 13 years, him asking me to learn French, he says, Ron, I want you to go down to Argentina and preach. I mean, you got to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. I mean, who am I to learn Spanish? So I went to Argentina, and we were there for about 20 years, off and on, and I've been going back and forth every year for 22 years, and I had to learn Spanish. And there again, the Lord looks, the people in Argentina look at my wife and look at me, and they say to my wife, in Spanish, they say to her, and where does your father come from? As if I'm that much older than my wife. I don't think that's even funny. I just see some of you laughing. I wish that would happen here. I'd take him to court. But you understand what I'm saying? Because she has a perfect French, Argentine accent, and she looks Spanish, and she's got her name Gloria. But anyway, these are just examples. So when you are going through trials and testings, I'm going to ask you something that I have learned, believe it or not. Sometimes I have even thanked God for it. And I mean it. Because I've learned so much through trials. So the purpose of God is that we will grow spiritually, morally, and emotionally through the trials. Now the word there is very interesting. The word, and I'm not going to dazzle you with my vast knowledge of Greek because I got it from vines. Anyway, it says there, perasmos, P-E-I-R-A-S-M-O-S, which is temptation, is basically, biblically, a neutral word in the Greek, having no necessary connection with either good or evil, as does our English temptation, which refers to induce to evil. But remember, James 1:13, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, patience. And it's wonderful when we realize how much we have to rely on the Lord. He sustains us. He helps us. He encourages us. Yes, and sometimes he gives us a kick in the back of our backside because we need it. So let's remember that. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation. This phrase could mean deliver us from temptation of the evil one. That's what we're praying. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from the evil one. Because Satan is always there. The Bible talks about fiery darts of the devil. He's shooting things at us, into our minds, the radio, the television, the newspapers, the newscasts, everything. And we have to realize that these are for our good. You know, let me read what, there's a book I read on this by Daryl Johnson, 57 Words That Changed the World. It's an excellent book. If you ever want to read one on the Lord's Prayer, I'll repeat that again. Daryl Johnson. I'm not a big reader. I do a lot of reading of the Bible because I enjoy it, but I don't read books. But I got this commentary, and it's what it says. Let me see if I can read this properly. What is Jesus teaching us to pray? I think it is this. Father, as you lead me into the test, God is leading us into the test. Do not let the test become a temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's what Daryl Johnson says. He says, as you lead us to the test, all of life is a test. As you seek to prove and improve our faith, do not let the test become a temptation, a seduction to sin, but deliver us from the subtle desires of the evil one. Father, rescue us from the evil one. I thought that was a good definition, and there's many others that I could read that I've looked in. So to be tested is not sin. People say, well, it's a sin. It's not sin because Jesus was tempted. He was tempted. Yet he never sinned. Jesus was tempted, but he never sinned. Temptation only becomes sin when we give into it. When we give into it. You know, people say the Holy Spirit is there, and we have to ask God. We even sing songs, which I won't go into, about, you know, Holy Spirit, come in. You know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll talk to you about this after if you want to. I do have some notes on it somewhere. But we receive the Holy Spirit as a gift from God when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us. Now, it's our responsibility because we're not robots. We're not cookie-cut Christians, like every Christian's the same, like a cookie-cutter. But what it is that God allows us to go through these trials and these testings to improve us, to improve us. And we're all different. Each one of us have different temptations. But together, we're going to find out in a few minutes, together, we can overcome it together. So temptation only becomes a sin when we give into it, and that is so important. Now, Satan can coax, but he can't command. Let me read that again. Satan can coax, but he can't command. See, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the power, not by ourselves, but by God's power. We have the power to say no. I used to love a song. I made 6 trips to the Mapuche Indians. It's 2,000 kilometers from where I lived in Bijamadi, and I went there 6 times over the years. And they had a song, very, very, we don't sing it in our assemblies, of course, but it, you know, it just, you know, they sing it, you know, kicking Satan, get out, Satan, get out, Satan. And it just makes me think of the power that we have in us. We have a powerhouse in us, but we've got to allow that power to work through us. So just no temptation has overcome you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10:13. I love that verse. That shows us very distinctly that as we are tempted, there's no temptation stronger than we can handle, because we have the power in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us, but we have to allow Him to work through us. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Notice that word, lead us. It's not lead me. Am I right there? It said, lead us not into temptation. Now, when I saw that, I thought of Parkcrest. Lead us. Lead us at Parkcrest. Deliver us. It's a community. It's a community of Christians working together, striving together, trying to live the Christian life, trying to do what God wants to do, trying together. I'm very strong on the local assembly. I believe that is what God's institution is. First, it's the family, and then the local group of evangelical, Bible-believing Christians working together. Lead us not into temptation. I'm working on a sermon right now about running the race. And you know, we say that, the Lord revealed this to me this week, when we're running the race, it says only one gets the prize, right? But I believe that we are in a race, but it's a relay race. We at Parkcrest, we at Cascades, we at 10th Avenue, we at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, we at North Surrey Gospel Chapel, we're in a race together. And I passed the baton, the stick to the fellow in front of me, and that fellow to the front of him, and we're running the race together, and we're looking towards the prize. It's not a competition. As we are led into temptation, that happens to us, but together, as a family of God. I love singing the family of God. I won't sing it now because I still have 7 minutes. But you know, the thing is, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, because they help me and I try to help them. And we're working together so we don't fall into temptation. And that is so important. You know, John 17 is Jesus' prayer. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Notice Jesus says this. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus is praying for us. And we are to pray for one another. We are to try to help one another. When we see a brother or sister slip, we're not supposed to step on them and squash them. We're supposed to help them, pick them up. Come on, brother. Come on, let's go. We haven't finished the race yet. We don't want to finish our lives like Gideon. Started so strong, and he finished so weak. And many others. But the Lord says that we are to pray for one another. We are to pray for one another in the family of God. We are to pray for one another, to help one another. Notice what it says in Jude 1:24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his God, present of his glory with exceeding joy. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, Jesus doesn't want us to fall. He's there. He says to us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. We use that in our evangelical meetings and our gospel meetings. But that's for all of us. He's there. Come, I'll help you. I'll encourage you. We've got to go to him. And we have to go to one another many times. Many times I'll phone up Ian McDougall. I say, Ian, look, man, I'm just struggling with this. Let's go have a coffee. Or sometimes people will phone me up and say, Ron, look, I've got this decision to make and I really don't know what to do. I said, let's go. You pay the coffee at Starbucks. We'll go to Starbucks and we'll talk and pray about it. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of the family? That's why I'm so happy that we can get together again. I miss getting together. Zoom was good and we used it and God blessed it. I pray that you should should take them. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but you will should keep them from the evil. John 17, 15. Let me read that again. I pray, John 17, 15. I pray that you should take, that you, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Are you praying for your brother? Are you praying for your sister? Seriously? I hope so. I need the prayers. You need the practice. I need the prayers. That's for sure. We must realize that we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. It says in Ephesians, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God that you should be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I remember when I was younger, I could get away with it, but I can remember one time speaking in Union Gospel Mission, and I was talking on these verses, and I took my jacket off, and I threw it on the ground. I won't do it here. I might not be invited back again. And I say, come on, Satan, come on, come on. But we can't do that. It's a spiritual warfare. I was younger then, and I was stronger then, and I could run faster too. But you understand what I mean? We have to work together because we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Look at verse 14. And stand therefore, having your girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. We're in the battle. We're in the battle. And we've got to pray for one another. We've got to help one another. Pray that you will not be led into temptation. No temptation, as I said before, I read this, but it's very important. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with all the temptation, he will also provide a way out of that temptation. Isn't it wonderful? So let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray for one another. You know, you can't see it up here, but I have your phone list. See, just imagine in your face the phone list up here. I use it. I don't know if I've even called any of you. I've tried. Mind you, it's kind of older, so maybe the phone numbers have changed, but I use it quite often praying for you. I don't know you all, but I pray for you. And then we have the web page. See the web page? That's to keep us together. And you get that email every week about these, we've got to pray for one another that we are not led into temptation. Because, you know, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, in closing, I'll just mention this. It's our Father. Oh, you our Father. It's not just my Father. It's our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Lord's Prayer, and we also thank you for the prayer in John chapter 17. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are exhorted, we are encouraged, we are stimulated to pray for one another, Heavenly Father. Help us take the time every day. Help us to have a prayer reminder. Help us to have the names of our brothers and sisters on the fridge, not in the fridge. Help us, Heavenly Father, to have a prayer board. Help us have a prayer list. Help us to find some way to remind us to bring our brothers and sisters to you in prayer. And lead us not into temptation. And deliver us, Heavenly Father, from the evil one, because he does not like us. He doesn't want us to be a happy family. He doesn't want us to worship you together. So we pray this, Heavenly Father, giving you thanks once again for Parkcrest, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for what it has done for hundreds of people over the years. Many of them have gone home to be with you, Heavenly Father, but they were part of the family. And help those, Heavenly Father, that have left and gone to other churches, Lord. Bless them, use them. And for them, Heavenly Father, that have left and not gone anywhere, we pray specifically for them. Help them, Heavenly Father. Help us to find their phone number by accident, and if you might say that, and phone them up and say hello, or send them an email, or send them a message, or send them a WhatsApp. Help us, Heavenly Father, to work together, because we thank you, Father, that you are our Father, not just my Father. We ask these things in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.